from DynastyLeagueFootball.com and a DLF family of podcasts, this is a Super Flex Super Show. Your main source for strategy, speculation, player values, and all things Super Flex. With innovative strategies like QBX and the Super Flex Flywheel, exercises like Tenderflex, Super Six, Your Nuts, and Next Week This Week, the Super Show's Super Friends never lack the content you need to help you draft and manage your roster in the fastest-growing fantasy football format, Superflex, on the Superflex Super Show. Enjoy your DLF podcast and stay sexy and super flexy.
Check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me saying got them. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn, you had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russell Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod, let's go.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Mitch Sorensen, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 183 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, also a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And you sure as sugar, we just did. It is, thankfully, almost the end of week 7. I am ready to move past week 7 and forget it ever happened.
Bipocalypse.
Oh, bipocalypse. Oh, man. And then I played the dangerous card of, I'm sure Waller will play. And then at like 2:30, Waller's not playing. Oh, crap. And I got a couple of bagels because there was just nothing I could have done. I mean, in Dynasty Leagues, Foster Moreau's already on rosters and unfortunately not mine. And just like there was just, okay, no, cool. Hopefully my team makes up. Oh, no, my team did not make up for it. Well, enjoy that W, whoever the hell I'm playing.
Yeah, I had several Wallers and I didn't leave them in anywhere, but I did have to start a Pharaoh Brown or two in his place. 5.6 points, by the way.
The CJ Uzuma replacements went very well. Oh, did you fare at all decently through the bipocalypse, Mitch?
It was rough. Like, the problem is, I think almost all of my, I don't have any good teams anymore. I have like two teams that are kind of good. Then all the rest are 3-3, 3-4. And I kind of like them and I kind of hate all of them. So this time of year just really sucks. And then we go through this, you know, by apocalypse. And then yesterday we had to hear how it was National Tight End Day. That like was horrible times, to listen to, and made it through it. Hopefully it gets better from here on out with less buys. But so far, man, Dynasty's been rough for me this year.
Yeah, this week, just forget it ever. We're on to Cincinnati. You know, we're on to week 8. It's just, it's been awful. Okay, well, let's not go too far without doing our little interviewee thing. So before, the first thing we say is, hey, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
So like I said, I'm Mitch. I'm at DinoMC on Twitter. I've kind of stepped off of the Twitter a lot lately, and I'm mainly just in the Dynasty Theory Discord. But, you know, I'm on the Dynasty Theory podcast with John Bauer and Dan LaMagna. And, you know, we just do it every Tuesday night, and it's what I love to do now. You know, a lot of people have their hobbies, and this is slowly turned over the last 3 years into like what I look forward to every single week.
Oh man, I feel that.
Yes.
I mean, I love my wife and my kids, and I mean, I hate my job, but that's besides the point. But yes, no, ever seriously. Yes. just seeing Rocky's beautiful face looking not at me and at the TV above me, well, above him, above his camera.
How could you not love that? Right, I mean, every week you get to just wake up and you're like in the morning, you're like, I get to see Rocky tonight.
It's the thing. That's all you need on Monday. What dreams are made of.
His wife's listening to the background. What the?
I know. She's happy not to see this face for an hour and a half, I think.
You're welcome, Rocky boy. Okay, Mitch, how long have you been playing fantasy football?
So it's been, I was thinking about it, haven't thought about 20 years. And the really weird thing is, like, I went to a Halloween party with my wife's friends. I was the oldest person in that room. And, like, I knew that point was going to hit at some point. Mm-hmm. And now I know there's other times to where I'm talking with people doing fantasy, doing dynasty, and I'm like 10 years older than they are. Yep. And I'm bringing up players, you know, from the early 2000s. They're like, dude, I wasn't even born at that point. I'm just like, okay, all right.
Well, you can be happy you're not the oldest person here, Mitch, so.
Yes.
Rocky always got us for that one. I'm the old man.
You got me by 4 years, yeah? Yeah. So that's good.
Yes, I'm the youngest, baby. Woo! 39, yes.
Perfect.
Okay, well, long-time fantasy football player. How long have you been playing Dynasty for?
It's been 5 years. Been talking about it on Theory for, I can't remember if it's 4 years, but I know it's four draft seasons. Like, okay, four NFL drafts.
That was my next question. How long did you actually wait before you just jumped into a show?
Oh, it was the very next offseason. Like, because I met John way back when in the league, and we just, you know, sometimes you just hit it off and we did the podcast. We've been doing it like every week ever since. It's been crazy, but it's fun. I can see why you guys are on 183 already. I mean, it's the fun part is you get to talk about Dynasty, but it's not just breaking down your trades. It's breaking down everyone else's trades too, which in turn ends up making you a better Dynasty manager.
Oh, see, he gets it. It makes me happy.
See? It's not about us.
I mean, it's a little about us, yeah, but it's really not is. All about us. What are some of the best and worst trades you've made while playing Dynasty Fantasy Football?
Oh, these were very, very easy for me. So the best trades I did was when that Tyreek news came out a couple years ago. PFT, so Pro Football Talk, was all over it. And I don't remember if it was Florio or who was writing it up at the time. And the guy was just like, there isn't a lot here for the NFL to do. There wasn't any real evidence. It was just a voicemail thing. So I read that. I'm like, you know what? I might as well go and try to acquire a whole bunch of shares. So at that time, you could get Tyreek Hill for like a third round pick. Like, people would trade.
I sold him for 2 seconds.
Yeah, for anything. You pretty had to trade a live body and you would get Tyreek Hill on your team. On the other hand, Gardner Minshew. I thought he was going to lead the Jaguars to the promised land last year. So I traded, I mean, I was in probably 35 leagues at that time. And I had him on probably 25 or 30 rosters going into the season. And I got like a solid 6 or 7 games out of it. And now he's a backup and that's all he's ever going to be. And I mean, you just get those players that you get really high on. And you're like, hey, I want him. No one else likes him. I want to get him on my roster. And then it doesn't work out. And then no one wants him because he's the only one that wanted him in the first place. I mean, those, you can't move him. And so he's just sitting there, just, you know, slowly I'll end up dropping him at some point for some new rookie that comes in.
No, you Mitch, won't, because he'll always be the second string somewhere.
It's true.
And you're always going to have that hope.
Now he's going to lead the Eagles to the promised land with the Flacco out of the way.
It's what the Twitter says. You know, give it a couple more weeks. There's a chance I could see Minshew action.
I did love the fact that usually when we say, you know, what are some of your best and worst trades, it's just like, oh, let me think. And you right away, just like, no, man, I got this.
No, I got it. Yeah.
It's nice. What is the guiding principle you take with you, whether you are offering or evaluating a trade?
So I think one thing that's extremely overlooked in Dynasty is building the trade relationship. You know, there's every league is different, but every league can kind of be the same, to where there's always going to be the one guy in the league that no one wants to trade with because you know you're going to send a dead even trade. And they're going to be like, nope, I want a third round on top of it. And you just know the trade negotiations are going to be horrible. So honestly, if anyone sends me a trade and I like the players and it's remotely close, I accept it. I don't counter as much as a lot of other people. And I just think it makes it so I know week 13, whether you have trade deadlines or not, you want to get a trade done. I know I could go back to that manager and be like, look, we got this one done previously. I would like to get this. And you can at least get the ball rolling there. But if you're always the guy that's reject, 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 and then you show up to someone week 13, like, hey, I really want to get a deal done. They probably don't like you right now anyway. So you're not going to be able to get a good deal done to help your teammates for a championship. They might be like, I don't want you to win, so I'm not going to trade you. So I really think it's just building the relationships as much as possible. And like, really, after someone makes a trade, say you don't agree with it, don't make a comment in the chat. Just like, you don't have to make a comment. Like, your opinion really doesn't matter. It's between those two other managers, because someone always does it. It always causes an uproar in a league. And then someone and someone else doesn't want to trade anymore. Now all of a sudden you lost like 10% of your trade partners in the league.
My favorite is in a lot of the Trade Addicts leagues and a lot of the trades, because when this first started and there were less than 10 leagues, I used to put a poll out for every single trade. And so right away, anytime a trade went through, it was just like, oh my God, I'm going to get crushed on this poll, or, you know, I am going to whoop you. Like, it was the small, either trash talk. Well, it was always trash talking, but it was either to the other guy or to yourself. So that's like, that happens more often than other people commenting. Oh, yeah. Like, most of the times it's just also, you know, clearly we have a league chat for every single league, and it is a rule that once you make a trade, you have to put a GIF of a siren, like, because, you know, we sound the sirens whenever we make a trade. So, like, I like that because everyone just starts going woo, and everyone gets excited about it, and then it's like, oh, Case Keenum for a third.
Yeah,
I take that back. I'm not excited anymore. So yes, it is absolutely, you know, the motto of don't be a dick, but, you know, absolutely make comments, because it's fun. It's boring if you don't.
Yeah, as long as they're good comments. If when it turns into like a camping league, you made that trade. I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen it. Like, people end up wanting to fight after a trade happens because you're ruining the league because of this.
Yes.
No,
oh, and the best is I would have given up more than that.
I would have given you more.
Yes.
Why didn't you?
Oh, that gets me going. But I listen to Scott Fish, you know, with Ryan McDowell on the Commission Pod. I can't remember. Commission Impossible, I think.
Yes.
They were talking about this years ago, but they were like, we get so many emails about this trade is going to kill the league. They're like, we could always go back and look. Those trades never kill the league. Like, no matter how lopsided they are, like, something ends up happening and the trade just works out. You know, someone's a winner and a loser, but it's not a trade killing thing that people like to say all the time.
It's really funny. I have a league, now titled Dynasty Awesome Sauce with the homies, because Casey won it last year. So she's like, I'm going to name it this. I'm like, okay, that's much cool. Better than the league name I had. And the point of that league was to get some of my redraft friends into Dynasty. And my friend Kristen, we made a trade at the time, very, very early in the season last year. It was, I gave her Henry Ruggs, she gave me Antonio Gibson. And Gibson went pretty nuts and Ruggs didn't play. She's like, that's it, I'm never trading again, I can't believe you did this to me. And I'm like, it was a fair trade, like, you know, at the time it was fine. And now where Gibson is playing like poop, and I mean, Ruggs isn't consistently doing anything, but every once in a while he's catching 50-yard touchdowns. I'm like, hey Kristen, how you doing right now? Shut up, Russ. I'm like, no, I will shut up if you realize you're wrong. So exactly, you never know. That is why I am hashtag never veto, seriously. Yep. Unless collusion is not vetoing, that is undoing cheating.
Exactly.
So you don't even have to qualify no veto unless it's cheating, because no, that's not vetoing, that is undoing cheating, and hopefully you're kicking someone out. So take that. What do we have to do now? Well, that is our interview thing. So I hope you enjoyed that. I hope everyone listening doesn't hate Mitch, because they shouldn't, because he seems like a very nice guy, especially because he's in my Harry Potter league.
I am. That's a great league too.
Oh, that is so much
fun. I'm not doing good in it, but it's a good league.
Oh, I'm doing awful in it, and especially if I lose Jalen Hurts to Gardner Minshew taking the starting job, I'm going to be pretty screwed. Oh my God, I hope that really doesn't happen. Like, oh, like I said that out loud as a joke, and now it's just like, oh, the effects that would have on my dynasty.
I kind of want it to happen. That would be well, awesome. You as an Eagles as fan,
a Philly fan, yeah.
I want the stash in the lead role there.
It's the league is better when he is a starting quarterback.
Exactly.
Let's be honest. I would just not rather have it be at the expense of Jalen Hurts.
It's not even just being an Eagles fan, even though I am not a huge fan of Jalen Hurts as an Eagles fan, but I just want Gardner Minshew being a starting quarterback again.
And just think of what that means for Bobby Koch and his love of football will come back a little bit just because those two men are cosmically joined.
Bobby, you'll have to grow a stash again.
it's almost November. He's got to do it again. If you actually listen, Bobby, because I know you don't always do, this is it. It is October 25th. Start growing it now, man.
It's time.
It's going to happen. I would say I would do it with you, but my wife would not allow it. And she's my boss.
Yep. I'm not allowed to shave ever. This beard is here to stay now. She had, like, I used to not have a goatee. She had me grow the goatee. And I'm like, nope, I'm doing a beard. And now, like, I am not allowed to shave it. Just, it has to stay.
It feels so weird. You get that baby face looking thing. I've never seen Rocky with an ounce of facial hair, by the way.
That's because I can't grow any.
I love when people are like, it just grows in so patchy. And I'm like, I want to see that.
Yeah, exactly. Just try it out for a little while.
Yeah, it's fine. I'm sure you haven't grown facial hair in like 20 years. I'm sure it'll grow back in just fine right now.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Yeah, I just thought it would be funny. Okay, so let's move on to the news, which is not great as usual, though not as many bad things as last time, unless I just didn't remember to write them down. So let's start with what I assume to be the biggest one is Zach Wilson, rookie quarterback for the Jets, sprained his PCL, which I believe is in your knee, and is out 2 to 4 weeks, which from what I saw is not bad.
Yeah, not a big deal.
Did not look great. And 2 to 4 weeks is nothing for a rookie quarterback. That was before we started recording. So the Eagles traded Flacco to the Jets because they got it. Make sure they win these games.
Very important.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. But cool. They did it. That's awesome. I don't even know who their backup would be behind
Wilson. Mike White.
Mike White. That's right. He's the guy that came in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Man, all these James Morgan cards I have are just worthless, I guess.
Should have a more boring name than Mike White.
I actually know a man named Mike White too. And he is a police officer and a huge comic book fan. So he is not a boring person. Plus, he would hurt me if I called him boring. And he's
just a boring name. It's no Gardner Minshew.
It's true.
What is? Not going to lie. Mitch has two DeAndre Swift jerseys behind him. And that's such a fantastic name for a running back.
It's a great name. So good. And there was a kicker this week. I can't remember who he played for. Blewett. His last name's Blewett. Yeah, Blewett. I'm like, that's brilliant.
But he made the kick. If he didn't, Blewett.
Yep.
Writes itself.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's actually talk about the implications of this injury. Okay, no, let me reword that. Are there any implications from this injury? I was never a very big Zach Wilson guy in the first place. He seems, I hate using player comparisons for situ, because it's not like, I don't even mean playing style. But he seems like Sam Darnold in where, when he looks good, he looks really good, but that doesn't happen super often. And when he looks bad, it looks really bad. So I'm not really into the whole Zach Wilson thing in the first place. Missing even if it was like 4 to 6 weeks right now of a rookie quarterback, I don't feel like that should affect value. But let's pretend you do play in a league where you have a GM that has Zach Wilson on their team, and they're like, all right, you know what? This is it. This is the window. Would you buy Zach Wilson for first and a second?
If I'm competing, I would. That would be the thing. Like, I wouldn't be willing to do an early first because I don't even like the quarterbacks coming out this upcoming year. But Zach Wilson, I just don't think is ever going to have that value. But I would do a late first and a late second because, like, I was the same. Like, I live in Utah. I watched him at BYU. Like, he wasn't even the starting quarterback going into his final year at BYU. They played the easiest cupcake schedule in the world. There's like a whole bunch of reasons as to why he did so well. But what happened was, like, the dynasty community just ended up hating him for it. And then all of a sudden he was, dropping down super flex drafts. And so he was going like really late in the first for a quarterback that went, second overall. And so for me, he still has that draft capital to where I'm going to get him for 3 years. and you give me a quarterback for 3 years. We saw this week. I mean, I saw a lot of Hilton, the wide receiver for the Broncos. I saw him as a quarterback in my fantasy leagues. And it's like, I could use a Zach Wilson that kind of week.
Yeah, we've already established I have no love whatsoever for Zach Wilson. So, yeah, I wouldn't be buying, but he would have to be unbelievably cheap for me to even think of buying ever. I just don't. I'm one of those people that hate him, Mitch. So
how cheap is cheap?
Yeah, I was about to say, would one late first, is that too much for you? Like, yeah, let's say you're on a competing. Okay.
I just don't think a non-realistic price
is what you're saying.
I have no belief whatsoever that he will be good in football or fantasy football. So, I mean, wow. I guess maybe I could get him and try and sell him if he has a spike. Maybe I should look at it that way. But I just have it's something I've said before that maybe I need to work on. I have a hard time getting guys I don't like on my team for that, you know, even for a flip reason. Ronald Jones is another guy I've always hated, and I never
tried so hard to give him.
The only time I ever had him on a team is when I've inherited an orphan, and he's usually moved within the first 2 weeks. So
you're welcome.
I just can't buy. He's definitely worth at least a first, but I just couldn't bring myself to pay it because I don't believe in the talent.
Man, remember Denzel Mims and how he was going to be a thing? That didn't happen. Is there anyone on the Jets that you think going forward is going to be worthwhile? Because I think I'm starting to really like Michael Carter. And I don't even necessarily need Zach Wilson to be good. I need him to be, decent and a little mobile, because we know he has a strong arm, and having a strong arm will have to make secondaries at least respect that a little bit. So while I don't feel great about any of the pass catchers, I want Elijah Moore to be a thing. I don't know. That depends too much on a quarterback being good. But
Zach Wilson's going to be there for another 3 years with him. So.
he's going to be there for a while. But I think I've bought into Michael Carter.
Yeah, I mean,
we'll talk about that in a few minutes also. Actually, no, screw it. Let's talk about it now. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium, 1.75 points per tight end reception. And all leagues but TA1 get 0.05 points for return yardage. I traded Devonta Smith for Michael Carter and a second. This is on a rebuilding team of mine, even though most trades we don't give context for. But this is my trade, damn it, and I want to talk about it. I do really like Devonta Smith, but I do have a lot of Devonta Smith and not as much. Again, like I was saying, I'm just starting to really just get into Carter. So I went after him. Well, it was offered to me. I tried to be greedy and I'm like, Smith and a third for Carter and a first. And he's like, nope. And I'm like, all right, fine. So this was the original deal that was sent to me and I sent it back to him. So I guess, what do you guys feel about? Well, I guess let's start with Rocky, because whenever there's involved an Eagles player, I like talking to Rocky first or last. That's the only two choices I have anyway. Never mind. Rocky, go. What do you think about it?
Well, getting into Carter, I liked him coming out. He was he was my RB4 after the big three guys this year. And I did not love the landing spot, but at least he seemed to have the inside track to being the lead guy. And that's happening. And we're seeing it now. I mean, he's not doing a ton statistically, but he's been slowly taking over more and more touches. And I mean, even on this horrible offense, in the last 2 weeks, he's been over 14 PPR points. So he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So I do like Carter. That said, I would take the Devonta Smith side.
That's absolutely fine.
Yeah, and it's not just because he's an Eagle. I generally tend to be more biased against Eagles than for Eagles. So Devonta Smith was my wide receiver two coming out. He's done nothing to discourage me. The biggest worry for me is the quarterback, and I don't know if Jalen Hurts is going to be there after this year anyway. So it may be another rookie, or he may get an upgrade. Who knows? Maybe they trade for a Watson or a Russell Wilson or something after this season with all those draft picks they have. So I think once he gets a legit quarterback, or maybe by some miracle we see a big jump from Jalen Hurts, I think the sky's the limit on him. We've seen flashes already. He's getting the target share in the offense because he is, by far the best receiver there. So yeah, I would want Devontae. It's basically, to me, I don't think Carter's worth the first yet. So that's basically Devontae Smith for 2 seconds. So I'd rather have Devontae Smith.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. So I actually loved Michael Carter coming in the draft, and I loved where he was going in super flex drafts. He was going like the mid to late second. So I always said that, like, what you want is you want him to pop, and then you can move him for something better. And that was kind of what I was always hoping for, because, you know, he's that fourth round back and they never really turn out. But if you, like you said, Rocky, it's, to me, it's still 2 seconds for a first. And I think it's actually a really good first now, because we know Smith is going to be really good in the league. I love the amount of work that Carter's get. He got most of the carries in that first half of the game. And I think they kind of spell him a little bit for Ty Johnson later in that game. But as far as the trade itself, I think I would go for Devontae Smith almost all the time. Unless, you know, there's always those leagues to where you're like, I need a running back and I like him, so I'm going to trade for him. But honestly, with Devontae Smith, I would probably try to get maybe a little bit of a different running back, maybe like a James Robinson type, to where I know he's only going to be good for the next 10 weeks or whatever it is.
I wouldn't be so sure.
You never know. You never know what you're stepping into. Like, I actually think he is going to get work next year as well. But I mean, I just know he's going to score touchdowns, that offense. That whole team sucks, but they'll at least put up points.
One last thing about Devontae Smith. I actually think he still might be a little undervalued, because he hasn't really popped except like majorly, except for one game where I think he had like 120 yards. I think if you were to swap him and Jamar Chase, he wouldn't be doing what Jamar Chase is doing, but it would be closer than people think.
But the BMI, guys, the BMI. Yeah. No, I really, honestly, I honestly kind of agree value-wise that it is Devonta Smith. And I honestly, again, just wanted Michael Carter, so I took the best I can get to get him. But it's also, like you were saying before, somewhere down the road, this guy's going to want to trade and be like, hey, man, backs were scratched last time.
Exactly. Help me out.
Yeah, come on, man. And of course, this is the dude that I think he won last year, and his team still awesome, so he don't care. Okay, so we've referenced this many times already at this point, but reports are that there is a quote-unquote good chance that Deshaun Watson is traded by the 11-2 deadline, and even more interestingly, the Panthers are now involved in these rumors of trades. Breathe. Okay, how do I word this? What do we do with this? Like, come on, man. Like, okay, since there's no real way to know the answer to this question, this is pretty much just a fun exercise. Mm-hmm. Let's pretend it's the Eagles. Do you think Jalen Hurts is involved in the trade over? Because I have to imagine the Texans won't want to waste anything with the amount of money Sam Darnold is owed. So I feel like that dude is just sitting there, because I think he's through next year also.
Yep.
Right.
Yes. And it's fully guaranteed next year, I believe, too.
Exactly. So like, if the Texans are smart, who knows when the last time that was, like, I feel like they would want nothing to do with that. So either it's Davis Mills for the foreseeable future, or, man, like, now the only reason I hope it goes to Miami or to Philadelphia is because that would at least move Tua, or move Hurts also, fingers crossed, and would make things more interesting. Well, first of all, I guess let's put our actual football helmets on for a second. Do you think there's a mystery team that might come out of nowhere and say, like, hey, we want Deshaun Watson? Yeah, like, I can't think of anybody either.
I'd want to say Pittsburgh, but I don't think there's any way Pittsburgh could. Because, I mean, they wouldn't want him for this year, but who knows what's going on with Watson this year. But Pittsburgh is kind of like the only one that I could think of. I actually always thought the Saints would do it, but I think Jameis is doing just enough to where they won't wreck their whole salary cap to make sure that.
And they never really have much open space anyway. And the Steelers are such a boring franchise. I just don't think they'd make a splash move like that.
I don't think so either.
Okay. So my question to you, how bad would I look for trading away Devonta Smith if Deshaun Watson goes to the Eagles?
No, I mean, that's always been the thing, to where, like, for a while, I was going after all the Miami guys because I was for sure he was going to Miami. So Jaylen Waddle, I traded for a lot of Jaylen Waddle because I'm like,
Jaylen Waddle, so good move.
Yeah. If I can't get him now, I'm never going to be able to get him at that point. And, you know, maybe that didn't work out. Good thing Waddle is still awesome with no matter who the quarterback is. But yeah.
Fuller would be really interesting if Watson gets traded there too.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%. That would actually fit beautifully.
Yeah. It's, but that's kind of, that's how I've attacked this more than anything. Instead of trying to get more shares of Watson, because whoever has Watson, I fully believe that that manager wants Watson to be on their team next year too, because they've already made the trades for him, I believe. So I'm trying to pick up the other pieces. Like I haven't got Malcolm Brown. I picked up like some Malcolm Brown shares, you know, just on the hope he could get the red zone opportunities in a Watson offense, but he's on IR already. So there we go.
Yeah. Win some, lose some. Ridley Truther in the chat says that Tyrod Taylor is practicing this week.
Yep. He should be back.
I don't know. The Davis Mills roller coaster is a lot of fun to watch.
It really is. Yeah.
But terrible, but oh, you're just going to throw four touchdowns against the Patriots. That's no big deal, right?
He's pretty much been terrible almost every single other game, though. And like Ridley Truther says, it'll be good for Cooks. Cooks was very, very nice with Tyrod in there in a couple games with Mills, but it's been rough recently. So,
all right. Yeah, no, there was nothing real fantasy-wise we could talk about it because we have no idea what's going to happen anywhere. Like, honestly, I don't. Deshaun Watson makes every offense better, but I just like the way DJ Moore is going right now that I'm afraid of the QB switch, what would happen. But I mean, that'd probably be good for Robbie Anderson. And I have so much Robbie Anderson. So much Robbie Anderson. I thought the him and Darnold thing was going to happen, and it's clearly not happening. Yeah. So the last thing I have written down is Miles Sanders has an ankle injury and he was getting an x-ray today. I didn't see if there was results, but that's
I don't
bad.
Think. Results came out, but I think Rappaport, somebody said that it doesn't look like it's going to be too bad. It's a low ankle sprain, they think. There's no MRI results, but that's the you know, the theory that's going around is that it's not going to be too bad. Maybe a week, 2 weeks, something like that, but not major.
So Kenneth Gainwell, I like the idea of Kenneth Gainwell, and it seemed like for a few minutes so did the Eagles and they sort of stopped for a little bit. My question to you is, do we believe in Miles Sanders? Is Miles Sanders going to get re-signed? Do we, because this contract has to be up in like a year or two, right? Maybe not this year, the year after.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so year like after, yeah.
Like, do we buy Gainwell like in hopes that he becomes the dude, because there should be a dude in Philly, because that's, even though they hate doing it, no matter who the coaching staff is. So let's pretend that he's going to miss, that Miles Sanders is going to miss like 3 weeks. Would you go out and try and trade for Kenneth Gainwell? Like, assuming that it's like him and Boston Scott in the offense, because that, unless they'll probably bring back Darren Sproles, because that is such a Philly thing to do. But, you know, pretending that they don't actually do that, I mean, do you think you can go get Gainwell for like an early-ish second and throw him right in your lineup? Would you? Not along the lines of if you?
Go into the Eagles guy first.
Okay.
I got to listen to the input here.
You're not talking out loud, so you know, better go.
And it muted me.
You need a new mic cord, man. I'm editing DGN and you just randomly turn into a robot and it's not fun.
Sorry about that. But I'm not that interested. There's been an issue. I mean, we've been all complaining about it. There's been an issue running the ball, period, anyway, with Miles Sanders there. So I don't think they're going to be this great running offense with Kenneth Gainwell there. And I'm not that interested for 3 weeks. I don't think Kenneth Gainwell is ever going to be the guy in any offense. So I just think he's a satellite back type. He'll be nice, and you'll never know when to start him. I don't really have that much interest in Gainwell. Definitely not for an early second.
Okay.
I don't know, for an early second, I can almost see myself buying in, because he's someone you could put in. All the buys are hitting. All the injuries are happening in to the running backs. He's one of the guys you could put in each week, and you know he's going to get points, right? Like, if you have between him and Jamal Williams, I would actually prefer Gainwell, because Gainwell's at least getting touchdowns now, to where Swift is getting the ball every single time whenever it matters. And that's just how it is. But with Gainwell, we see him actually getting a lot of use in the red zone, even when Miles Sanders was there. And so Gainwell is just one, like I had a lot of Boston Scott in previous years, mm-hmm. just because the Eagles like to use those two backs. And with how hard it is to have starting running backs throughout the whole year, if I could get a guy like Gainwell to where, you know, barring injury, I could use him in those spot starts, but not ever plan on him being my RB1 or my RB2. I'm okay with that.
My problem is this year the Eagles don't want to use any backs. So
that's a very good point. The fairest affair, I guess. So Rocky, let's pretend you did have Kenneth Gainwell on hopefully at least one of your rosters. Would you take an out right here for a second?
I would, yeah. I don't think – probably – it's probably easy for me to say, though, because I literally don't think I have him on any of my 30-plus dynasty teams. So so it's easy for me to say, but I think I would if somebody would give me an early – I mean, where were you drafting Gainwell? The late second?
Mm-hmm. Early second.
Yeah. So I'll take the early second next year. And like I said, I don't think he's ever – like Mitch said, I do see what he's saying, that especially in a good offense, if they had a better quarterback – I think Gainwell would have some value. I'm not sure he's definitely guaranteed. I mean, he's going to get some points every week, but I don't know that he's sort of guaranteed points in the way that Mitch was sort of saying. But I just don't think he's ever going to be dependable, like ever in his career. I think he's going to be like a Nyheim Hines type guy where he's going to pop off for weeks.
We like Nyheim Hines. We like those guys.
It's not looking great this year.
Well, yeah,
it's he's gonna have Tariq Cohen doing. It doesn't matter. You get that 1 year, and that's what matters.
Yeah, and that's been, and he may have a year somewhere along the line where he's an RB1 because he catches like 70 passes in a good offense. But other than that, I just like I said, as of right now in the Eagles' offense, I just don't trust him, and I don't trust. I couldn't trust Miles Sanders. So, like I said, I don't see how you can trust Kenneth Gainwell.
You especially do hate Eagles players, don't you?
I kind of do.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty easy to hate them. It's pretty easy to hate them right now. So.
All right, so let's go on. That was the last piece of news I had. If you guys can think of anything else while I'm scrolling to figure out which we should do next, you know what? I want to do listener questions. And since we were just talking about Gainwell, let's go to @PackerNationNA, who says, what the H-E double hockey sticks are we doing with young RBs like Mitchell, Gainwell, Carter, DeErnest, and Khalil? They are all on the up and up, but really are question marks as far as dynasty value goes long term. Who stands out and who should we sell? So let's take one out the books right away. Rocky said sell Gainwell. Mm-hmm. I think I'm a bit of a buy. Again, everything's depending on price, right? But if I can spend an early mid-second on Gainwell, I firmly believe that they're going to be at least similar players, if not maybe not as great players, in the mid-second of this coming draft. And I might as well get a guy that actually fits the situation of his team we know they like to use, whether it's dependable or not. Like I made the joke about Boston Scott and Darren Sproles, like they love that guy. And right now Gainwell's that guy. But let's talk about the other players in here. Elijah Mitchell, Michael Carter, who, I mean, I've already confessed my love for, D'Ernest Johnson, which is a little tough because of the players in front of him, mm-hmm. and Khalil Herbert. So I guess pick one, Rocky. How do you feel about one of these guys? And what do you think? Do you think their dynasty value can match their production value that's going on right now, long term?
I think the guys that of the guys on this list, I think the one that can have the most long term dynasty value is probably Carter, who we already talked about. excuse me, got my throat.
Good about a Jets player.
Like I know, it chokes me up. But yeah, I mean, I think he's a better runner than people gave him credit for coming out. And we've seen he can, in the league already that he's been able to catch the ball and be good in the passing game. So, and I think he can keep that up in the long term. I don't think he'll ever be, like valued as an RB1, but I think he can be a point producer. Like I said, the last two games, I think he on a, like I said, on a bad Jets offense, I think he's had 14.8 and 16 point something in PPR. So I think he can keep up that kind of production on a regular basis. Obviously with some down games in the offense, but if Wilson is at least a little better than he's shown so far, I think he can at least that the offense can at least support Carter being RB2-ish for a couple of years. So he's the only one I think I'd have interest in long term. I'll let you guys speak on the others, but to me, most of the others would be sells.
I'm buying into Elijah Mitchell, to be honest with you. Like, Shanahan just doesn't care when you are drafted. And like, even more so with wide receivers, he hates them. But I mean, Trey Sermon went well ahead of Elijah Mitchell. Didn't matter since training camp. It's been Elijah Mitchell. And then I was even thinking going into the game last night that, you know, Trey Sermon would get a little bit of run. Elijah Sermon was, you know, injured. They went to the bye. I'm like, you know, they might try to mix it up a little bit, like the days of old for the 49ers. No, like it was Elijah Mitchell show. And the only issue that I have is talking with a lot of people today. It sounds like people kind of want a first for him now. And that's where I'm like, I could see the thought process behind it, because a starting running back, I take their name out of it for the 49ers. Especially when Trey Lance gets involved, that offense is going to at least be able to run the ball very well. I could kind of buy into it. I don't know if I could do it for a first, though. But I could bet you a week or two in the season, some of my 3-4 teams all of a sudden are 5-4. I want to make a push. That's when I'll end up moving a first for him.
So my question would be, in let's pretend this coming next week, week 8, Trey Lance is announced as the starter. Mm-hmm. Two games go by. Mitchell puts up the Michael Carter numbers, a 14 and a 16. Is he worth a first? Because you're not getting, especially after two good games with mm-hmm. the new offense installed, you're not getting him for less.
You're right. 100%.
I don't want to pay a first for him, especially if Lance is going to be the quarterback. I don't know what that's going to mean for the running game. I mean, it could help the running game, but also we saw with his one start, he ran like 16 times. So I'm not sure how that's going to play out with, and we still don't know if Mitchell, you know, Mitchell, a lot of people have compared him to Mostert in style, which I agree with. But he also doesn't have a big frame either. So he could be comparable to Mostert in terms of getting hurt all the time.
Rocky, come on. Don't speak that into existence.
So, yeah, he just came back and had a nice game. But if you know, we could see again two games from now, he's holding his knee again or something. So I don't want to give up a first for him. I don't see a lot of long-term value. And I'm not even sure he can carry this through the entire year with Lance at quarterback. And I think we all expect Lance to be the starter at some point.
Eventually, yeah. Okay, so this is actually a question because I don't know the answer to it, especially because it's a question about the Bears and we're assuming some sort of rationality from them. But I feel like Khalil Herbert has showed enough that he should be getting touches mm-hmm. even when David Montgomery comes back. So let's pretend, I mean, we're going to get, 65-35? Like, they're not going to just take the ball away from Montgomery. But let's say we can call 12 to 15 touches a game for Khalil Herbert. You're not paying a first for that, clearly. But is that something you want on your team in that offense? Assuming, oh my God, please just do better for Justin Fields. Like, let him be better. Like, coach him somehow. Like, that offense has to get better because it would break my heart for it to get worse. Like, let's say we're talking 15, 17 touches a game. And he's clearly the RB2 behind Montgomery. Do you pay a second for that?
I think he's like a great throw-in piece when Montgomery comes back. I think if you trade for him now, it's going to cost at least a second and probably something on top. But if you could just wait until Montgomery comes back, a lot of the talk's going to be, oh, they're going to split, yada, yada, yada. That's when you could go and you could do like a 2-for-2 trade. And you could end up having Khalil Herbert as that two coming back to you, someone that you might be higher on, because he looks really good. Like, yeah. He ran for 100 yards against the Bucks. No one runs for 100 yards against the Bucks. And that offense is horrible. And he still ran for 100 yards against the Bucks. So I really like him. So actually, I think that'll be my plan of attack for him, is just waiting until Montgomery comes back. And then I'll do it, because it's going to be like, oh, they have Damian Williams. Oh, Tariq Cohen's going to come back. And then so I think that's when I'll actually go after it.
I really like what Mitch said there. Getting him as a throw-in in a bigger deal. I wouldn't want to pay a second for him. Because, I mean, as you alluded to, Russ, I don't know that I want anybody really in that offense, so I don't want to pay a second for anybody in that offense. I know it's going to change next year, but that doesn't necessarily mean good things for Khalil Herbert either, you know, with the new coaching staff and all that. So, yeah, I like the idea what Mitch said, but I wouldn't want to give a second.
Okay. No, legitimate question. All right, we have bonus question from Ridley Truther in our chat. Thoughts on Gallup returning from IR? Any interest as a high-end Cooper/Lamb insurance plan? I mean, Gallup's just good, so I think you should want him on your team. Yes. And, you know, add in the speculation that either he or Cooper are on a new team next season, and that just makes me more interested in Gallup anyway. So, yes, the answer is yes. You want Gallup on your team.
Yeah, that's the reason I'm
pay a lot for him.
That's the main reason I'm interested is, yeah, next year is he should have a bigger role either in Dallas or somewhere else.
First for Gallup?
No.
I'd go second. But
mid-second. Okay. Mid to late second, yeah.
All right, cool. just reaffirming. Just I wanted to make sure. Because like, I'm like, am I going to give it up a first for Gallup? No, I don't want to. And then good, you two said second, so I feel better about it. Okay, so I think we answered enough of that question for Packers Nation. Hey, man, this is working perfectly transition-wise. At Ronald, oh, man, Cavalier,
man, I'm sorry. I believe.
Cavalier? I just blew
Russ,
that one.
Russ is getting all French on us.
Cavalier. Trey Lance season, if the 49ers drop another game, and Ridley a buy low. Let's okay.
Me and Russ were buying Ridley high, so he's definitely a buy low for us.
Go get Calvin Ridley always.
Yes, just if anyone's selling him low, then go ahead and go and get him. I just don't know if anyone actually is.
No, I okay. No one ever sold Ridley to me at a decent price anyway, because exactly. They know me. So that's not really fair for me to talk on it, but I haven't seen it happening. Though I guess, hold on.
I was going to say, I thought I sort of bought him low.
You really did. Trade Addicts 1, Derrick Henry for Calvin Ridley and Antonio Gibson.
That's kind of theft. I mean, you hate to say it, but I mean, it's Calvin Ridley was going really close to Derrick Henry was. I know Derrick Henry is doing awesome. But then you get Antonio Gibson, who was going really close to where Calvin Ridley was as well. And I mean, and the one thing with Antonio Gibson, I always talk about him as like, he's the DJ Moore of running backs. There's always someone in the league that loves him, that like, no matter what, they will pay whatever they need to get Antonio Gibson. So whenever anyone asks me an Antonio Gibson trade, I'm like, ask for more, because someone will always give you more.
And the worst part is he sold Derrick Henry to the dude that's like right behind me in record and in points, so I'm a little upset about this. Not only did he get Calvin Ridley in a league instead of me, he gave the other dude Derrick Henry, so I hate this trade every ounce of it.
And I'm trying, I think that was TA1, I think.
Yeah.
I'm trying to compete in that league, but I'm definitely not one of the top three or so teams. And I didn't really want to move Henry, and he actually sent me, I think it was Gibson in a first, and I turned that down. And I sent something back that I didn't think he would accept, because I wasn't sure I wanted to move Henry. and then he ends up taking it. I was like, oh, okay. But
can't
yeah,
be sad, then.
I still like Gibson. I know it hasn't been great so far this year, but I still like him long term. And I'm not sure what their schedule winds up going for, but I think in games they're more competitive. And I think the shin has been an issue as well. I think that's a big reason for some of the lesser production is the shin injury, which may not heal unless they give him a few games off. So I wouldn't actually hate that, even though it would hurt some of my teams. But I think that's what he needs. And I think we'll start seeing more of the Gibson of last year. And the shame of it is, too, is that I think the guy, it's kind of like there's a lot of backs we can say this about, like Jacobs and I even thought this about Sony Michel coming out. I mean, Gibson can catch the ball. He was a wide. People talked about him as a wide receiver when he was drafted, and he never gets a chance because J.D. friggin' McKissick is there. So, so if that guy ever leaves, we could see him, you know, an exponential value spike there if you start giving him like, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 targets a game, something like that.
And there,
like, I just kept counting.
I know, I couldn't help
myself. I started too low.
I was like, that's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, 3, 4, that's way too low. Especially when I knew I was saying targets, not catches. So,
I was just going to say on Gibson that team's going to upgrade the quarterback position. Like, that's just going to happen. The defense is so good. The defense is supposed to be good.
Supposed to be.
Yeah. They'll turn that around. I mean, they have the talent to do it. That in future years, Gibson is going to be a great back to have because he will always be in games. And that's what you want. You want just running backs who aren't going to have to, you know, get Hines out of the out of the game because Jonathan Taylor won't catch passes. Although it kind of looks like that's slowly changing. I like it.
Same thing with Derrick Henry, right? Like, all of a sudden, you'd get 7 targets in the game. Okay, so there's an ulterior motive in this question. Jake Earl would like to ask, would you trade a 22 and 23 first for Trey Lance? And let's pretend that 22 first is probably going to be the 101.
You know, I'm not, so I'll let Mitch answer.
No, if that's an early 23 first, there's no way. I mean, if it was 2 22 firsts, then yes, I would do it. Because
if the 22 is probably going to be the 101.
Yeah, I think the 22 draft is pretty trash as far as super flex leagues go. So that's my biggest worry is, like, you want Malik Willis. Do you want – I always want Cam Coral, but do you want Corral? I mean, Trey Lance is so much better fantasy-wise than those guys probably will be that I would do it for the 22s, but that 23 draft – we already know the value is just slowly going up and up and up. Yeah. The closer we get, it's just going to get even more. Like, the 101 in there will be Lance. Here, you give it 6 months.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not as definitive of a statement like Rocky's that I wanted, because he sent me this offer, by the way. Oh. Because Jake and I are competing for the worst record, I have his first also. So he was trying to get it back, and I'm like, look, man, no, you're going to have to try a lot harder than that for me to let you tank your team and give away your first. But I'm going to be honest, I thought about it for a second, but not that long of a second.
Well, and for me, the thing with Lance is I'm scared to death of his floor. I mean, I think everyone just looks at his ceiling and he could rush for all these yards. And I mean, he has not looked great as a passer in the limited action we've seen him, not even just to see it, but even in the preseason. He had that one long touch, actually, and one in the regular season too, long touchdown. And other than that, he hasn't done much in either instance. So I worry about a guy who only had 1 year in college and then didn't play for a year, and he played against lower competition and all that stuff. So I mean, this is, if you pay a 22 and 23 first for Lance, I mean, I you're banking on him either being a top 5 quarterback, or maybe these go hand in hand, or increasing in value to sell him for more than that, which I don't know that's definitely the case. So I would not.
Take that, Jake. Okay, let's move on to @ChuckSpath. Why does @DinoMC never get anything when he's hunting?
That's messed up. Well, like,
is this like a metaphor, or is this like literally hunting?
It's actual hunting. I live out west, so you know there's big game populations out here, and I missed a couple podcasts to go hunting, and I wasn't, you know, active in the Discord, and yeah, Chuck knows me a little bit, so it's not my fault. Like, there wasn't anything out there. Bad weather. Wasn't my fault.
It wasn't him. It was them.
It was
It's not but me. It's you.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. But in all seriousness, how are you attacking the wide receiver landscape? It seems like the position sees the most movement weekly, even in terms of dynasty ranks. Are there players... Wrong there, and that really threw me off. Are there players we should be targeting from a production or value perspective? I mean, go after the old guys. I mean, that's always the answer. I mean, especially these really low-end old guys. Like, go get Manny Sanders. You know,
Go get, I mean, Antonio Brown's not that cheap anymore because the secret's out that he's still very good at football. But, like, those guys are going to always be the Adam Thielens of the world. The big disparity between fantasy and dynasty value where you'll be able to get those points, but you don't have to pay, like, what you would have to get for equal points in a younger guy. It just, it's the way it works. Tyler Lockett's there at this point because the dude's 28 years old and, well, it's a little rough, right? You have to ride through the Geno Smith era going on right now. But even still, it's like, those are the guys I am going after. Otherwise, I mean, it doesn't change. Just because ranks change doesn't mean anything actually changes in the world. It doesn't affect trade value all the time. It doesn't, it definitely doesn't affect, you know, the points they're scoring. But I love wide receivers, so I always have a lot of them anyway. And I always trade for them pretty often. So, I mean, it's a passing league, so there's always going to be a lot of wide receivers. But if you're looking for right now what to do for your team, especially if you're competing, go get those old guys. And on the other side, like, I think I did really well right before the season started when I decided I was rebuilding on a couple of teams to go after Kadarius Toney. Like, find those guys that are super young that no one really wants, but you don't know why. Like, everyone did this with Hollywood Brown. Everyone did this with Henry Ruggs, where they have the draft capital in the NFL, but no one really wants them in Dynasty. So you're just like, all right, well, I guess just throw them in and let's go. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But it's a good way to build your team.
Completely. And the funny thing is, I actually have Hollywood Brown down in my notes. Like, find those wide receivers that people hate. Just because. I mean, I have Deontay Johnson written down there as well because, you know, he drops the ball, so all of a sudden he's not a good wide receiver anymore. And then Deebo Samuel, he missed last year, and Ayuk's taking over. Now Debo's getting like 15 targets a game. It's just what I have a hard time paying up for wide receiver because there's always one, and the people who like him consider that one the wide receiver one. You want to trade for Tyreek Hill? No, he's dynasty wide receiver one. You want to trade for Ja'Marr Chase? No, he's dynasty wide receiver one. You know, and that's just kind of how it goes. So I really like to go after the more middling guys and kind of build my rosters to the tight ends more so than those really high tier wide receivers, because I just have a really hard time paying that really, really elite price for him.
Real quick, before Rocky starts, is Ja'Marr Chase the wide receiver one right now?
He is. Yes. Seems like everyone I've talked to, yeah, and it's like not really close as far as, you know, Twitter's value and everyone else's that I've kind of talked to.
Yeah, and I wish I took more advantage of that.
Yep,
me too. Catch the pass in the preseason thing. Like, I tried, but it was such a half-assed try, and I clearly super regret that now. All right, sorry, go ahead.
I have a couple shares, and one of them's even just on the DDCO, which I inherited. I think I only drafted him in one or two places, and I wish I had tried to get him quote unquote low with the white stripes and the dropping the balls and all that stuff. But yeah, I basically agree with what you guys said. I don't mind going after high end guys if they're target monsters. You know, guys like Devontae Adams, who you can probably get for less than he's worth at this point because he's, oh my God, he's 28. So he might as well be, you know, on death's door at this point. You know, Tyreek, some other guy, you know, AJ Brown is not really that target monster yet, but he looks like he's going to be.
He finally had a good game.
Yeah. He looks like he's going to be getting there. So I basically really like to get the high-end guys or the very low guy, like the Brandon Cookses and some of the guys, you were Tyler Lockett's. There's like a handful of guys. I've heard Scott Connor talk about this in Dynasty Show. There's basically like five or six, seven guys that maybe you can guarantee you're going to get that huge target share. Mm-hmm. Deontay would be one of them, actually, the most undervalued wide receiver one when he's playing, like
he drops the ball,
not on his team, right? In fantasy, yeah, he's basically puts up wide receiver one numbers when he plays, and he misses a game here and there, so people don't realize it. I guess I don't know, and he's got Ben Roethlisberger throwing to him, and so they don't want him, but
not for long.
Yeah, so basically, target monsters or just like you said, get in that bargain bin, Brandon Cooks, Tyler Lockett, Antonio Brown, all those guys.
All right. Well, again, this is working out so perfectly. I bring up Chase in our last question at I mean, is it Doctor underscore Pro? Like, I mean,
no, it's just Dr. His name's Drew.
I know his name's Drew, but I really just like, I want, now I'm just going to call him Doctor from now on.
Yes, Josh jokes that he's Doctor, but yeah.
How aggressive are you willing to get with offers for Chase and or Pitts? He specifies tight end premium in Dynasty at this point in their careers. And then he asks, how concerned are you about Mahomes / the Chiefs for the rest of the season? So let's take this one at a time. So Chase and Pitts are the ones at their position, whether we like it or not. Yep. Do you go after them knowing that their value is pretty much at the moment at their highest? Like, I was listening to the DLF flagship show this morning, and they were talking about in a one quarterback league, not being surprised for Jamar Chase and Kyle Pitts going in like the top three picks.
Oh, yeah. They said Chase 101.
Chase 101, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they said Pitts being in the first round. So, yeah, we're there. And yeah, it's just like he has no words. He's just not.
I was letting Rocky go. I feel bad. I don't want to.
You're the guest. You don't got to.
I know. I usually defer to the guest, but I'll start talking. I'm not pursuing them super aggressively at this point because, like you said, they are, you know, they're especially right now off these games this week. They're, I mean, their value cannot be any higher. I was actually thinking when I saw this question, like, given the way the Dynasty community is, a lot of people, should you be selling them? Like, everyone wants to sell at peak value. Can you ever be higher than the wide receiver one and the tight end one? So even it's though okay, they're like 21 years old, should we be selling them?
If they're rookies, it's okay. Like, you're not allowed to trade if they're rookies. It's next year.
Next year.
Then you could trade. Okay. But I can't go after Chase right now. But Pitts, the one thing about tight ends, and if you look back, the really good tight ends just stay good. Like, they don't go up and down. Like, we see wide receivers. We see Juju, Michael Thomas, Tyreek Hill, Devontae Adams. You know, we see them move up and down. When you're a good tight end, you just stay where you are. Kelce has been one or two forever. Kittle's been one or two since he, you know, was good in his rookie. Was it rookie or second year?
I think
whatever.
Second year, yeah.
Yeah. Whatever year he was
second
good.
Year, maybe rookie year a little bit.
And he stayed there. I mean, Hockenson really hasn't done anything, and he's like tight end four, tight end five still.
Whoa.
Well, we grade tight ends on like a big ground. We're like, yeah, you know, he had 50 targets, so he has to be the tight end four. But Kyle Pitts, he looks amazing. He has a draft capital that no other tight end coming into the league is going to have. Like, tight ends just don't get drafted that high. They use him.
Eric Ebron, baby.
Yeah, right. And they use them like crazy. And so I'm actually willing. And let's say if I'm in a super flex league, say the tight end premiums, the 1.75, I would trade Joe Burrow right now for Pitts, like, and not even hesitate. And I have Burrow as my quarterback eight.
Yeah, and he's living up to the hype. I mean, he's they came out that he is the stat, what he is, the most receiving yards ever. For a tight end through their first six games. Yeah.
Oh, no. Bye week, right? Yeah. Six games.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Even with his slow start and, you know, right away, week two, we're calling him a bust. yeah. About that. No, that definitely. I got to be honest. I have always said, and I stick to this, I am absolutely okay paying the I'll wait and see tax. And. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be very heavy with Chase. Pitts, his value it hasn't really changed. Let's be honest. It was always up there. It didn't really matter. He was the tight end one before the season started in DLF ADP. So I don't really think that matters, which is also why I would be more willing to pay for Pitts, because the price hasn't jumped. But, I mean, you're not getting Chase for less than two firsts at this point.
I don't know if you get him for that.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah, that was a great point, because it's not that Pitts has done that much better. It's that Kelce hasn't really done the Kelce things yet. Kittle's injured. Waller was really good the first couple weeks, and he hasn't really fallen off. And Hockenson didn't do what we all expected him to do. Mark Andrews has been amazing, but no one likes Mark Andrews because no one likes Lamar for whatever reason. I mean, one thing I'll say is get Lamar. Lamar is very good.
Lamar good. Mark Andrews, I can't buy in.
Really? Still?
I like the player. It's just it's too much based on efficiency.
Yeah, that's true.
And in the tight end position, I don't want that. If I'm paying up and you still have to pay up for Mark Andrews, that's my beef.
Yeah.
Like, I like the player, but. Okay, so hold on a second. So Jake Earl in the chat, which, by the way, patreon.com/tradeaddictspod is how you get in here to watch us live stream and in on the chat. How does DK get the first catch of the game for 84-yard touchdown and then have zero targets for the rest of this game? Seriously? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I haven't seen. That's not good.
I'm very glad I'm not watching this game, though. I'll take the 15 points right off the bat and hope he catches another two or three. The game's not over yet. It's only 10:40.
Gino has 8 completions in the fourth.
Oh my God, he's so bad. Where's Cam Newton? They were talking about Cam Newton last week. Go bring him in. Can't be worse. And it's not like he's going to ruin Chris Carson because Chris Carson ain't playing either. So
yeah. That whole offense, man. I mean, I love DK and I love Lockett, but I'm scared of all of it.
Yes. I'm a Seahawks fan, so I've been terrified of it the entire time. DK has been shut down by very good corners, and Lattimore is a very good corner.
This hasn't been an encouraging game. It's 10-10, and both teams don't look great. So 10-10 in the fourth quarter. Yeah, Geno has 8 completions. No running Kamara back is more than 28 yards. Kamara's having a great game. Pretty much nobody else in this game is.
Come on, just give me that one deep touchdown to Callaway so I can feel better about it.
Yeah, he's got 2 catches.
I need
6 yards.
Yeah. 10 more 19. Yards to Everett and I'll be happy.
I mean, I don't even know what I need at this point because like I looked at this morning and it's just like, I don't, whatever, man. Ugh. Okay.
Also, I'm trailing Ryan by 0.1 points now, so I better get a little more from Jameis and no picks.
We have the second half of this question. How concerned are you about Mahomes / Chiefs for the rest of the season? I love watching this Mahomes panic. Like the dude wasn't quarterback one coming into the week.
Sorry, I got to be honest. I'm sitting here. All of a sudden, I heard the game going on. And I'm like, whose game's going through? It was because I reloaded my ESPN feed so I could actually see the stats. And so all I heard was the game, plays, so I have no idea where we are.
We're talking about the Chiefs, baby, the Chiefs.
Oh, no.
Are you concerned about Mahomes, Chiefs, rest of season?
If you look at their schedule is pretty easy. I mean, like, it's not complete cupcakes, but it's mostly cupcakes. And the only good defense they play coming up is, like, week 16. They get the Steelers. And you never really know what Steelers team is going to show up, so... Mahomes is fine. I mean, the one problem is in super flex leagues, he's probably not the 101 anymore. There's enough to where you can see someone taking Kyler or someone taking Josh Allen, something like that. But his value hasn't really dropped. It's just the other guys are just extremely good too. So there's no reason to move off of Mahomes for any reason. He could be terrible for the rest of the year. It doesn't matter. Like next season, they'll actually have draft picks. They could bring free agents in because their salary cap won't be completely tanked. And it'll be okay.
Yeah, I'm with Mitch. I'm not worried for fan. Maybe real life football, because I mean Mahomes has been throwing a lot of interceptions this year, which he doesn't usually do. But in terms of fantasy football, before this game, they've been fine. I mean, Mahomes has been fine. Most of the Chiefs have been fine. Tariq's had a couple blow up games. Kelsey's been producing every week. I equate what happened on Sunday to week one, you know, the Packers losing to the Saints 38-3. That's what this was to me. It's not something to worry about going forward. And like Mitch said, I mean, like next week they have the Giants. I have no concern that they're not going to produce against the Giants next week. So, and I, like he said, I think they have a lot of other easier teams coming up. So no worries in terms of fantasy. I think you're still going to get tons of production out of Mahomes, out of Kelsey, out of Tyreek.
I mean, remember when the Rams were the Rams, you know, a few years ago? And then after the, you know, the Super Bowl hangover hit, where it's just like, it seemed like they didn't care about the regular season. They're like, we're going to make the playoffs, you know, let's just get through this. And that feels like that's kind of what the Chiefs are right now. You know, Mahomes is just like, okay, wee. And, because he's that good. And okay, he's throwing a couple of picks, but it's not really affect. Okay, this past game. Let's just pretend it never happened. You know, like, it's not really affecting the outcome or anything. And even in fantasy, again, still was the QB one. So no, nothing to worry about at all. No, 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 no. Deleted. Good. There.
Looks like Jake reverse jinxed Metcalf because he's gotten the last two targets in one catch.
Thanks, Jake. I'll take it. All right, so let's go back to, okay, I deleted this. I could delete this one. The trade addicts trades. I already read all that stuff off. We just talked about the Derrick Henry one and how I hate Rocky for it. So let's go to trade addicts 4, where I traded Cordarrelle Patterson in a 22 third for a 22 second.
I love that. I mean, I think that's exactly what you should do with Patterson right now. I mean, unless you are that, it's always weird this time of year because it's like, well, if you're competing, but I mean, the 100% smart play right now is that trade that you did.
I agree. Although I don't think you should have to give the third. I think he's been good enough.
Justin is a jerk.
He's been good enough. And I think he's going to keep producing. Maybe, you know, he's not going to get 3 touchdowns in a game again, probably, but he's going to keep putting up numbers in the teens all year with the receptions he's going to get and you know, the rushing work as well. So, and he's worth a second. You got a second. Though. Yeah. I don't think you should have to give the third, but if you want to, get that second and that's the only way he'd do it, I have no problem with it.
Yeah. Thirds, whatever, man.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's Justin. So he's going to be a stickler about it. This team, the only person on my team who scores double-digit points was Cordarrelle Patterson. I literally barely break 60 points a week. And the only reason I do that was because of Cordarrelle Patterson. So 101, baby. All right. Okay, so, I mean, that's exactly how I felt about it. You know, it's just, I wanted a second. I found a way to get it. I don't care that it's a 20. I don't care that it, wait, did I do I did this backwards. It's a 22, 23 third for, no. Hold on. It was a 23 second. That's what I typed wrong. It was a 22 third for a 23 second. And again, I was about to say, I don't care that it's a 23 second. I got a second for a guy I don't want on my team. So that makes me happy.
Yep.
Oh, what makes me feel great is trading Geno Smith for a third.
It's impressive.
This is the fourth one I've done. I've gotten multiple thirds in a couple of leagues. Like, and we had Case Keenum sent for a third, which I joked about earlier in the show, but actually did happen. And the reason I keep putting these on there is save your fab for when this happens. Get as many backups on your team because sooner or later, someone's getting hurt. You'll be able to sell them for something because you'll never feel good about starting Geno Smith, but someone's going to have to. You know, bipocalypse and injuries, you know, so many people were stuck this week with two quarterbacks on the bye and Baker Mayfield.
I made this exact trade. I have a league where I only have two quarterbacks and their cousins and Baker. And I made this exact trade in that league. And I won this week, at least in part because of Geno. I'm going to say that anyway, whether it's true.
It makes you feel better. It makes you feel better.
So I'm not lucky enough to be in one of your leagues yet. You know, this is my, hey, you know, when an orphan pops up next year. Hopefully I get an invite, but
you are so lucky to be in one of my leagues.
Yes. Yes. I am in the Hogwarts one, but I need to be in one of your addicts. Just need to be, but I will just say
could be on the list like everyone else, man.
That's a perfect trade. I mean, that's what you want to do. Spend your fab, get a quarterback, trade him a week later. That's how you play Dynasty.
I did it right. As opposed to the first trade where you guys both hated it. Yay.
On the other hand, don't do that.
Okay, in the same league in TA5, there's pieces. Alvin Kamara, Mike Davis, and James Connor for AJ Dillon, Damian Harris, and a 22 first and second. One more time. Kamara, Mike Davis, James Connor for AJ Dillon, Damian Harris, a first and a second.
So I'm gonna go with the Kamara side. It's probably not for what anyone thinks. And everyone's probably going to call me stupid for it. I still really like James Conner. I
kind of like James Conner too.
Like James Conner in that offense is what you want. He isn't a 20. He can
have 15 touchdowns.
Yeah, easily. I mean, and he could score every single week. And like, he's not that 20 touch guy. You don't want him getting 25 touches. You give him 12 to 13 and you give him all the red zone work in that
all
offense.
All the goal line work, yeah.
I'm sold. That's all that I need. So that's actually why I like it. You're getting Alvin Kamara, who is the best player in the deal, and you're getting James Conner, who I like a lot more than I'll ever like AJ Dillon.
I'm with Mitch. I like the Kamara side. I mean, Kamara is clearly the best player in the deal. I mean, this seems to be clearly a deal, you know, a contending versus rebuilder type deal. I think the value is okay. I kind of think you should get a little more for all those pieces you're giving up. I mean, Kamara isn't producing like last year, but he's still producing pretty well. And this, you know, this tonight hadn't happened yet, but that's only going to help it, you know, his stock. I don't. And it seems like I said, like a more of a rebuilder type deal, but I don't really like Damian Harris going forward that much. I don't like AJ Dillon as much as most people do going forward. So giving up all this, if you're going to do this, I'd actually rather split up those pieces and try and sell them separately, even maybe, and get more picks or, you know, a Michael Carter or something like that.
Just love that we're talking good about Michael Carter now. Okay, like that's like I saw this and I'm like, I don't get it, man. It doesn't work out perfectly to where it's like AJ Dillon and Harris for Mike Davis and James Conner, because Mike Davis has just lost all value whatsoever. But either those, Harris or AJ Dillon for James Conner, you just sort of shrug. And Mike Davis is worth zero. So if you saw Damian Harris a first and a second for Kamara, like, I would just be like, I guess.
And I'm assuming this is on a contender, which means that first and second, or if it's his own, are probably going to be late. So
they are. Okay, hold on. First place team who lost to a rebuilding team this week.
What's up?
I mean, that sucks because I won a game, but you know, it's at least it was the first place team that I beat. By apocalypse, baby. Yeah. Already has 40 rush yards, 128 receiving yards.
Oh, yeah, he's got like 9 catches. Yeah,
that's unreal.
Wow. 9 catches.
I mean, that's why Kamara's value is gonna,
which he hadn't been doing this year as much as he had been in the past,
but like still, like that's why he'll have one of the slowest value descents we've seen in running backs, because that doesn't go away. You know, the ability to catch doesn't go away, and he doesn't necessarily need speed because, man, that dude's contact balance is insane. Whew. All right, last trade we have on the sheet is the one I referenced a little earlier. I don't remember if we were recording it or not. So, Trade Addict 6, this was Mike Williams and Travis Kelce for Keenan Allen, Darrell Henderson, and Darren Waller.
I hate to say it because I think you already said what side you were on, but I think it's a free Darrell Henderson. That's how I look at it.
I kind of felt that way too, but I still didn't care and I did it anyway.
But like, I love Mike Williams. Like, love Mike Williams, because as much as we talk about Gallup, you know, going to a new team, Mike Williams has that same opportunity that Gallup has. And so he's actually staying healthy for the first time. And then you're getting Kelce. So I understand why you made the trade, but Darrell Henderson, if he's healthy, he just produces every single week. This was the funny thing against the Lions. That was actually his worst week of the season. Like the first time he scored under 10 points, but you know, those games happen. I fully expect him to be the 15 to 20 point guy every single week from here on out.
Yeah. And I even like, okay, so I'm thinking through this in my head. Okay, let's talk value wise. I do think at this point, Mike Williams is worth more than Keenan Allen. And while at this point in the eyes of the community, Mike Williams isn't necessarily young anymore, but I still at this point, because I take part in DLF's mocks every single month to see where, and I mean, unfortunately, I always end up taking Mike Williams, so I'll never know where anyone else values him.
I don't know what his true ADP is because Russ just takes
him. Because Russ is there. But like, I really feel like he's got to be around that wide receiver 10 to 12 easy. And let's face it, Keenan Allen is never going to get back there. I mean, he's probably around 13 to 15 right now. And given the age, it's just going to either stay for a while or decline, which if it starts declining, you should go buy Keenan Allen right now anyway, because age has absolutely nothing to do with what makes Keenan Allen good. Yep. And Keenan Allen is very, 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 very good and on a very, very, very good offense. So whatever, it's like me trading him away is absolutely.
Are you guys worried about what's going on this year, though? I mean, he still hasn't had one of, you know, those games, and Mike Williams seems to be the primary guy, and then Austin Eckler is getting his, and Keenan never seems to be getting his.
It is, yes. His ceiling is kind of capped because of the volume that is going to Mike Williams. But you never have to worry. You're going to have a solid game out of Keenan Allen, and the touchdowns will come. You know, he'll get a 2-touchdown game every once in a while, and there will be a game. Let's face it, Eckler's going to miss 1 or 2 games every single season. So you also get that little spike, those 1 or 2 games. And again, you're never going to have Keenan Allen as your wide receiver too. I mean, unless you go super RB, robust RB, you know, but like even still, but that's what your team's built for. And exactly, like, he is the perfect wide receiver three-ish, because at that point in your lineup, you want that solid. You want that dude that is going to give you that 15 points. And sometimes he'll give you 25, which is going to be awesome, but he will never give you 5. Never is a very strong word. It could happen, but he most likely won't give you 5.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. We actually heard going into the season, Lombardi say Mike Williams is going to have the Michael Thomas Saints role. And
I heard that.
Totally happened, right?
Yes.
And like, I hate Lombardi.
One of the few coach speak things that actually came true.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, I can't stand Lombardi going back to his, you know, Lions days and how he killed Reggie Bush. But, you know, that's story for another day. But Keenan Allen, like, I just love the slot wide receivers. I mean, everyone makes fun of me for it, but like, give me him, Jamison Crowder, Cole Beasley, Tyler Boyd. Those are guys where you just, like you said, they're not the wide receiver one, wide receiver two on your team, but they are someone you could put in every single week and you feel good clicking that button. You're like, yep, he's in my starting lineup. I'm okay with it.
And you do get the blow up weeks every once in a while. Okay. Well, first of all, Ridley Truther in the chat. Yes. Hashtag Team Clemson, big wide receiver. And it's funny. Like, I have to keep saying that just because, look, I like Hunter Renfrow. He just doesn't fit in. Like, sorry, bud. Okay. So when I was going over this, I'm sitting because TA6, this is like the last year before J Mike just takes over the league for the next 5 years. So I want to win. And this is the conversation I had in my head. Right now, value-wise, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, they're not super far apart, but I do, by the end of the season, see Mike Williams being worth decently more, and I do think he will easily outscore him. Okay, cool. All right. Waller, I am scared of right now, because Waller was Waller because of the target share, and that's not there right now. And it doesn't seem to be changing. It's been 4 or 5 games in a row, and that seems to be what it is. But don't get me wrong. You're not going to be sad about getting 15, 16 points every single week from your tight end. But I could trade this for Travis Kelce and get 25 points every single week. I mean, last year, Travis Kelce was the pass catcher one. He scored more than the rest of the wide receivers, again, in the 1.75 PPR for tight ends. So I do also feel like that this is me showing that I am not worried at all about the Chiefs. And I'm like, okay, so me, I get Mike Williams, one of the guys I love. I get Travis Kelce, who is the ultimate safety feeling. Am I willing to give up a guy who is pretty much a workhorse running back when he's healthy? And probably still might be next year because we knew Cam Akers coming back. Who the hell knows? Like, would Darrell Henderson stop me from making this trade? And obviously, in the end, the answer was no, because I took this Sunday morning, and I'm like, Waller might not play. Screw it. I'm just doing this. I am putting Kelce in my lineup and making myself feel better about it. And it happened. I won the week, and I feel good about this, even though I know I probably overpaid, and honestly, 1000% okay with it. Okay, yeah, we've talked about that enough. We could move on. Actually, no, we can move on. That's the end of our show sheet. That's the end of our show. Wow, that went a little quicker than I felt like it was going. I thought we had a lot of stuff to talk about, and it's just gone now. Okay, but that's where we are. We're here. We're there. We're everywhere. Before we do actually leave, Mitch, thank you for coming on. Had a lot of fun. Hope you had a lot of fun. Why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they could find what you do?
I am at DinoMC on Twitter, and I'm on Dynasty Theory every Tuesday night. And then just check out the Twitter. I'm rarely on there anymore, but definitely check out the feed. I'd appreciate it.
Oh, and he is Slytherin House, by the way, in case anyone was curious.
Yeah, we're not doing too well in that Harry Potter league. It's looking a little rough.
Ah, man, Hufflepuff, we're like riding the middle. We're not winning anything, but we're not losing any points. So we feel fine right now. Got to start scoring points. Got to start getting those house points. I love the idea of that league. I really hope it works. it really seems to be working. But
and the funny thing is with Slytherin actually works because like everyone wants to work together for the house. And in Slytherin, we're like, nah, I like my team. You guys worry about your team, not my problem.
Yeah, people keep forgetting they're setting their damn lineups, people ruining stupid Andy. Okay, well, I already talked about patreon.com/tradeaddictspod, where you can watch us live stream and just, man, what a mess my hair is right now, but it's going wild and free. And watch Rocky's Philadelphia hats, thankfully wearing Eagles today. And just the beautiful face of Mitch Sorensen. And he's like, yeah, what can I do, man? Yeah, well, and also join in the chat. Yeah. Which the many times we have read for people's stuff in the chat and the Cool Kids Club. Yes. The awesome chat on GroupMe that where all of these people also get together and chat about football all the freaking time. And it's a lot of fun. And I also share way too much Disney stuff because that's what I do at this point. That's who I am. Don't judge me. Actually judge me. I don't care. Also ffpodshirts.storeenvy.com. Where you can get, I was just a 20, I just found like one of a package of my stickers, all of these SFB stickers that we made. But also, I mean, I'm wearing a football shirt, but it's not a. What do we do? T-shirts, stickers, mugs from a whole lot of your favorite podcasts. Anyone that was too lazy to create their own store, I threw them in mine. And we also have all the SFB 11 stuff still up there. Every penny that comes in goes to Fantasy Cares. We keep none of it. Every single penny that I am not, you know, charged for, you know, because everybody wants to get their cut of anything that is ever sold ever, we throw it in there. So yes, please go buy stuff, get some awesome stuff, and give kids presents during the holidays. And on that note, I am Russ Fisher at Dynasty Outhouse. He is Rocky Petrella at Dynasty FF Addict. At Trade Addicts Pod, at DAP underscore network, DLF family of podcasts, subscribe, rate, review, all of those things that I'm supposed to tell you. And I'm vamping a little bit because Rocky hasn't come back from the bathroom yet and I want him to say goodnight. And I really just called him out, even though he hates when I do it. But he's not back yet. And hey, night, Mitch.
Hey, see ya.